We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy 4th of July to you today. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and I hope that today you are getting to celebrate the freedoms that we have here in America. I hope you're getting to share that with your family. And if you do have other festivities that are planned, if water or possibly a fireworks show or anything like that, I know my dogs always hated 4th of July when we had dogs at home. But whatever you do, do it safely. Do it to the glory of God. And we pray that you have a great day. We want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida, where they have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for nearly 50 years. They work in residential and commercial settings, like commercial settings, and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you think you might find yourself in need of an air conditioning technician in the heat of summer here, you might want to write this number down, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. He operates his business with integrity and value. He's a great brother and a great servant. And so their license numbers are RA00668-54 and EC13002439. Their phone number once again is 321-632-9538. That is WEIRICH Air, Wyrick Air. Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. So today we are going to go back to Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. We'll read on down through chapter 13, verse number 4. And so Mark 12, 41. Now, actually, I need to move up farther than that, up to verse number 38. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Then as he went out of the temple, one of his teachers said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" So Jesus continues his teaching here, and we're talking about Jesus teaching us how to think, not just what to think. And he goes into a description here that teaches the people that he was ministering to at that time not to be deceived by the things that you see with your eyes, and the world has a label on them that they are important, that they are influential, and that they are valuable. So he said, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes. They wear fancy clothes. They love the greetings in the marketplaces, where everywhere they go, people recognize their presence and acknowledge their presence. He says they get the best seats in the synagogue. Now, I think that the best seat in a house of worship is one that's occupied. If you do not have a church home, I'd like to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. We have seats available. When we run out of available seats, we'll add more seats. If we run out of capacity, we will go to additional services or start another church or whatever. We just want people to worship God. Now, there are not seats for the affluent versus the seats for the poor. I've had homeless people that have been in the church, and I've had millionaires in the church. I will tell you that the value of each one of them is the same, and that is they're worth the blood of Jesus. And at Merit Assembly of God, we're an international congregation. We have a lot of different nationalities that are represented, a lot of different ethnicities, even though our congregation is not very large, because the kingdom of God is not monochromatic. It's not just about one culture or another culture. The kingdom of God is about people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation that are worshiping around the throne of God. So back in May, I was at district council, and one of our missionaries was there, and they had gotten married on the mission field. They'd been missionaries for a long time, and a single young lady. And after having been on the mission field for a long time, she ran into another missionary from another country who had been a missionary there for a long time, and he and she, they got married. And there are a lot of churches that support them, but she remembered me and remembered the saints at Merit Assembly of God and what a blessing our church was. And believe me, we're one of the smaller churches, and yet they remembered not the size of the congregation, but by the nature of the congregation's heart for missions. And so I hope that your church doesn't have different standards. I hope it doesn't have different standards for rich and different standards for poor. I hope that it doesn't have any schisms in it at all. I pray that it looks an awful lot like the throne room of heaven. And, you know, James actually talks about, you know, how can you honor the people who are oppressing you when they come into the synagogue? That's not a very good thing to do. He said, they have the best seats in the synagogues, and they have the best places at the feast. So I had a person one time, they came to Merit Assembly of God. In fact, I don't even remember who this person is right now. They may still come to the church for all I know. But they asked this question. They said, are you sure you weren't in the military? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure. I said, I didn't serve in the armed forces. I said, but I am a servant in God's army, and he's my commander in chief. I said, why do you ask? And they said, well, whenever we have a dinner, you don't eat until after everybody else has eaten. And I said, well, there's a reason for that. I want everybody else to be able to have something to eat. And if we happen to run out of food, which has only happened a couple of times in over 30 years, I said, I can either go home and eat something at my house, or I can go to a restaurant and a fast food restaurant and order me something. I can get something at the grocery store. I can tap into my food reserves that I carry around with me on a regular basis. I can deal with it. I said, but I don't want anybody that's come to church to go away empty. And I said, what makes you think that was military? And they said, well, you know, in the field, the officers make sure that the enlisted people get to eat before they eat. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I just wanted to make sure that everybody had food. I will tell you that at Merit Assembly of God, I have a parking space. It doesn't have a sign there that says it's reserved for me. My parking space is the one that is the farthest away, to make the parking that is up close available to the people of the church and the visitors who may be coming. The only time that fluctuates is if we're having an event and everybody floods the back parking lot and the front of the church looks empty because everybody's parked around back. In that case, I'll move my car around front so that everybody knows, hey, yeah, church really is going on at that point in time. But I'm not afraid to walk. In fact, there are people who've seen me walking. Somebody said, oh yeah, you're the walking pastor. I used to do that a lot, back before I had radio to do and, spent so much time traveling back and forth. It's a long walk to the radio station. I've done it. Don't want to do it anymore, especially in the summertime. So, he says, beware of the scribes. He goes on in verse number 40, and it says, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. And so it describes these people as people who were taking advantage of people that they were supposed to be taking care of. God said he would watch over the widows and the orphans, and instead these people had marked them out as people who were to be taken advantage of. I believe that the church should be a blessing. I think that that people who have been faithful to the Lord and their husbands, a lot of their husbands were either killed in battle or killed and injured. And so these were people that God said, me and my house, we're going to take care of them. And instead these people were taking advantage of them and said, and for a pretense, make long prayers. One of the next things we're going to be talking about is, as soon as we finish this study, is God teach us to pray. God teach us to pray. Teaching us to pray is not about repeating a bunch of things. It's not about the length of it or how long the duration is. Those are all for, influencing other people and making them think that you're something that you may not. Jesus says it's a pretense. He said these type of activities set them up for greater condemnation. Now, I'm thankful that in Christ there is no condemnation for those who believe, to those who are called according to his purpose. So he said, I want you to realize, don't be looking on the superficial things that you see, because it may appear that there's a degree of godliness there, but it may actually be an indicator of a godlessness. Not godliness, godlessness. Godliness leads you to commendation. Godlessness leads you to condemnation. So, verse number 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw the people put money into the treasury. I don't see the giving records at Merit Assembly of God. I don't really know who who gives how much, other than I know how much my wife and I give. And I do that on purpose. You see, not everything about being a pastor is easy. Sometimes you have to speak correction into a person's life. And I've made it a priority not to know what people give, so that I can know that if I have to speak a word of correction to them, that I'm not going to be intimidated because of the negative financial impact that may make on the church. So there was one time where I didn't follow that, and it was after the fact. It was after I had already spoken to the individual, and I said, I think that this person is the largest contributor to the church, and I just want to make sure that I did that, so that I know that I will speak correction when correction is needed. I will do it with love. I will do it with compassion. I will do it for restorative purposes. But I want to make sure that my interactions with people are not intimidated or influenced by the size of their financial support to the church. And I can tell you that God has been faithful to Merit Assembly of God a lot of times through the years. I mean, he's been faithful all the time through the years, but he has really blessed us through some difficult seasons. He does. Where I do not, God does. I tell people, somebody asked me here a few weeks ago, do you have anyone that you are accountable to? And it's like, yes, I have a board. I have a presbyter. I have a district superintendent. I have a general superintendent. If I mess up, I said, my credentials are only good for 1 year. And if I mess up, then my credentials can be pulled after a year, and then I would not be able to continue to pastor the church. But the greatest level of accountability, the one that is the most intimidating to me, is not having to give an account to men. It is having to give an account to God. And so we have an annual business meeting where we not only are accountable to that group, but where we present everything to the congregation as well. And I present it to the congregation this way. We're here. Here's an accounting of every penny. We don't have any miscellaneous funds. We don't have any slush funds. Everything is there for you to see. And I said, I'm much more concerned about giving an account to God and being faithful to his house and to his finances than I am intimidated and having to give a response to men. And so we can stand there and answer zero questions, or we can stand there and answer 100 questions. It's not intimidating because there's nothing to hide there. So Jesus looks up and he sees people putting money into the treasury. And there were some people who put in some large amounts. And somebody commented that many times people who were putting in a large amount would do it one coin at a time, so that it would make lots of racket, so that it would draw attention to themselves. And he said, and then there was this one poor widow who threw in two mites, which was a very insignificant amount of money. It was worth a fraction of a penny. But she had not given out of her abundance. She had given out of everything that she had to live on. Jesus taught them how to give. He said, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. You say, why would God have someone put in their whole livelihood? Well, there was a time when Elijah showed up at a widow's house and said, "Would you make me some bread?" And she said, "I'm sorry. I've got enough for some for me and some for my son. And after that, we are out and we're going to die." And he said, "If you will make mine first, I assure you that everything is going to be taken care of." And so she did. I mean, when you're down to your last meal, it's not hard to give it away, because whatever you eat's going to only last for a few hours. But if God asks you for something, you need to realize that he set you up to receive something even greater. And so I can't tell you the number of times when I've heard stories of God asking for something that was very sacrificial. And when people responded in an act of obedience, their sacrifice had set them up for superabundance, for blessing. I've told a story here one time where, and my wife and I, we started off at Merit Assembly of God not making any money. My first ministry job, I made $100 a week. Then I found out that I didn't bring home $100 a week. I brought home $84.68, I think is what it was, or $86.48. It was, you know, not much money. Gas was over $1 a gallon. My parents paid my car insurance because there was more, I had more bills than I had income. But God was faithful. And then my wife and I, we our first year of marriage, I think we made $9,000 that year. And this was when the economy was really going good. And then we got up to where we were making $19,000 or $20,000, and then we said yes to a ministry assignment, which meant a pay cut. And then we got back up to where we were making some more money, and then we got transferred to Florida and took a pay cut. And I can tell you that God has been faithful to us, that whenever he's asked us to say yes, even if it was difficult seasons, it just set us up for greater reception later on. I guarantee you God was going to take care of that lady. God is going to take care of that poor widow. In chapter 13, he says, "Then as he went out of the temple, one of his teachers said to him, 'Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" Jesus begins to teach them that the buildings that we see, the things that are external, things that are quite opulent and fancy, as far as the world standards go, that they do not have any permanence to them. That instead, there's going to come a time when they are going to be torn down. They will be removed from sight. They will be removed from their geographic location. You won't be able to find any record of them. And so if you want to raise a lot of money for a church, you have a building program. People give to buildings, and that's fine as long as buildings have purpose. But the purpose is people. The purpose is reaching people. It's not building buildings for legacy's sake. It's not building buildings for an architect's sake. It's not building buildings so that people can say, "Wow, you know, what a great pastor you are." The only reason to build buildings is to make sure that the needs of the community are being met and Jesus is being glorified. So, if you're one that is enamored with things, be careful, because things aren't permanent. A friend of mine told me one time that a guy said, "You see that over there?" He said, "That's what success looks like." and he was pointing out to a bunch of people driving brand new cars. And I said, if that statement had been made to me, I would have said, that's what debt looks like. I have a person, a friend of mine, that told me one time that he had talked to a car finance person, and a lot of the fancy cars that you saw driving around, he said the overwhelming majority of them owe more money on those cars than those cars are worth. And they, I think the last thing I heard was something, we're approaching something like $1 trillion in debt in just automobiles that have a shelf life for the most part of not very long. The world has misplaced priorities. They focus on the temporary, not on the eternal. And the last thing I will share that Jesus taught in chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, is Jesus began to teach them about God's timeline. And they began to describe, or they began to ask, when will these things be? And what will be the signs when all these things will be fulfilled? You and I, we tend to think things through in minutes and hours, in days and weeks and months and years and decades. God thinks of things from eternity. And if we want to experience a lot of peace, then we need to say, God, teach me to think on your timeline instead of trying to make my timeline fit into your schedule. That's a lot easier to say than do. When I was sending out 200 resumes looking for a place to minister and finding none, it was very frustrating. But God has always had this way in my life of showing up at the perfect time. When I thought he wasn't going to show up anytime soon, all of a sudden, bam, there he was. That happened with my relationship with my wife. I for the first time in my life, it's like, okay, nothing romantic is on the horizon anytime soon. And within a matter of weeks, My wife was there, and all of a sudden we were moving towards God's tapestry in our life. Don't get preoccupied and anxious about God's timeline. He's got it all under control. Let Jesus teach you to trust God. His timing is perfect. You have a great 4th of July. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.